The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Again, resetting just a couple things from earlier in the program. If you saw the Celtics last night, Gordon Hayward, career high 39. He became the first Boston Celtic since someone named Larry Bird 35 years ago to score 30 plus points on 80% shooting from the floor with at least 7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was his night. He is having the same kind of years early, I get it. But he is already pacing statistically for his all-star season in Utah.
Correct.
Okay, so he's on the same pace. He's been arguably your best player this year. Not your leading scorer, that's Kemba Walker, who at 26 points a game is probably also looking at some all-star consideration. So, I ask you, if Gordon Hayward is your best player, is that a problem? You say yes.
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because, again, I think ultimately for you to get where you want to go, and I admit that this is a long-term consideration, okay, which apparently is not allowed. I'm not allowed to talk about the long term. But for you to get where you want to go, Jason Tatum needs to be your best player by the end of the year. And I just think, because, and the other thing is, really,
how about for the purposes of this season?
As it pertains to Hayward, Hayward has a great year. He's going to opt out. He's going to go to free agency, and you're going to lose him.
I think that is on the table. I agree with you. For the purposes of this season and how far you go and our bet and the big debate that feels like it's going to be brewing all season long, over under 49 wins, over under East Finals, in terms of that, is Gordon, in terms of what they can do this season, is Gordon Hayward being your best player a problem?
Just say it.
No.
Okay, there we go.
I mean, again, but again, when
that
you put...
took a crowbar.
Well, the ceiling's higher if he plays like he did last night and continues to be this consistent. He just is.
If Kemba Walker's your second best player, you're in business. And I say in business to make the finals. I'm not going to pick you over the, you know, those Los Angeles teams. I'm not getting stupid. But I think you have a real chance to come out of the East, and I think that your chances increase tremendously if Kemba Walker is your... Sidecar is probably too strong at 26 points a game, but is your second piece. And one of those wings, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, emerges at an all-star level. So I'll take any one of those three. If any one of those three emerge as your best player, you're in business. But if it's Gordon Hayward, fine. It's Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, it's better if it's one of the young guys, though.
For the long term, I would agree with you. But for this season, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What is that tone? What is that thing?
I mean, again, I just sort of look at it and say, well, of course, it's. I mean, in the short term this year, it's better for them if anybody plays better than Walker, which essentially is what you just said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
that's the only thing that matters right now. But
I don't think it, to me, it doesn't change where they're going this year. Like you might say, well, they might win more regular season games.
So hold on.
I still think they end up in the same spot.
You do.
I do.
You don't think their chances are better to beat Milwaukee or Philly if Gordon Hayward or Jason Tatum is their number one? And Kemba Walker is a good all-star level number two.
I think they're better if it's Tatum and not Hayward. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Tatum can reach.
You're right. He probably can. I'm not telling you that he's getting there because it's his third year in the league.
Hayward's a better player right now. And I'm not saying his ceiling's not higher. And his athleticism obviously isn't higher or anything like that. He just passes the ball much better. You can run the offense through him. You can't run the offense through Tatum. And I think Hayward gets himself much, as I mentioned earlier, much easier baskets, which I love. He was 17 of 20 from the floor last night. Perfect inside the arc. Was it 16 for 16?
16 for 16.
If that's because he slashes and takes the mid-range game and takes open shots.
And because he was playing Cleveland.
Oh, but I've seen him do this consistently all year. He slashes just inside the three and gets an open shot. When I watch Jason Tatum, he's spectacular, but he's dipsy do, step back, spin around.
Agreed.
All day. He doesn't get easy opportunities like Hayward.
Agreed. Hayward's a better player right now.
So I don't think Tatum's going to reach him this year, and he's definitely not a better passer.
Yeah, no, he's not. And he's probably not going to reach him this year. I'm just telling you that the variable in the team for me in terms of where they can
what
go.
What does Tatum do other than score? Does he rebound well?
Not well enough.
Yeah, he's averaging almost 10 a game.
Is he that high this year?
He's 9-3.
Okay, but again,
he's averaging 9 rebounds a game.
So someone's going to have to get him because nobody else can.
Well, so I'll say the same thing about Tatum, though, that I say about every Celtic at this stage. Let me see what it looks like later. Tatum should be a better rebounder than he is. He should be a better passer than he is. He should be a better defender than he is. Now, look, I saw some of that stuff in the Milwaukee game. I saw him block the freak in the Milwaukee game. I saw him make a couple good passes in the Milwaukee game, and then he did the same thing in the next game against the Knicks. So I feel like Tatum's coming along. But am I expecting it this year? No, I'm not. If it were to happen, though, that would be the best development for them.
Okay. Hayward's averaging 7.5 rebounds a game. So
Hayward's playing well all the way around. But that's what he is. He's a good, solid B-plus player.
For me, you know, I'm just take invested this year. It's just I have a take investment, and that's the Celtics challenging in the East, contending in the East, going deep in the East Finals. And I think a path for me is that one of these wings has to emerge as the best all-around player on the team, where Kemba Walker's a two, where it's not just a repeat of the Isaiah Thomas years, okay? One of those wings has to be the guy. And it's cool. You have two all-stars. If you have two all-stars, you're in business. In the East, I'm sorry, you're in business. So that's the Celtics reset. Your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. On the Bruins and the Canadiens, there's three things that stood out to me last night. One was Rask and how absolutely horrible he was. And with the PTSD of Tuukka Rask and being a Bruins follower in this town. And how that was just a mini microcosm of what we have to live with Tuukka Rask. He's been the best goalie in the league for a month.
I mean, didn't you? I know I did. After that first goal, I was like, oh, this a-hole.
Here we go.
This a-hole.
So he's been the best goalie in the league for a month. He's been lights out. Now you get to a Montreal game, which I'm sorry is just a little more important than the rest. It's a 4-point division game. Never mind that. It's Montreal. And for those of us, well, yeah, I don't need to explain it to you if you know what I'm talking about. You go into Montreal, you walk into the Bell Center or the Forum, and you're a Bruins fan and you're watching the game, you want to win that game. And you know the Bruins felt the same way because they played the backup last night on the first of back-to-backs to save Rask for the Montreal game. So they wanted it too. And so you're invested in this game and the goalie doesn't show up and it's like, this is what it is with Rask. He can be great for a month. He can be great for a run. He can be great for a stretch of time. And then you get to the game, and what happens? I think of the 5 goals he gave up, he could have saved all 5 of them. He could have saved all 5. Now, if that's unreasonable and say, well, you get 4 of the 5, that should have been 1 or 2 goals against last night, and that's it. And you should have won that game going away. But he couldn't stop a beach ball. All 5. The first one turned sideways, got small in the net. I think it went under his arm. Then you tie it, and the times of them, again, were killers. You tie it 1-1 in the first, and you're about to get into the intermission, tied 1-1. Okay, you'll take it every day of the week. Then he gives up 2 before the buzzer. 2. 1 off the glove where he was off his angle, a little floater from Tatar, and then that Byron goal between his pads. Brutal. And then I want to know where the coach was at. Like, how do you not bench him and come back with Halak to start the second? It was clear Rask could not see the puck last night. And then you climb back to 3-3. You claw your way back to 3-3, and then immediately he's flopping around there trying to draw a goalie interference call. Now it's 4-3. Then you get to the third, and you tie it. You tie it with a lucky goal, a wraparound goal from one of your grinders, and then you even go ahead, and then it's reversed, and we'll get to that in a second. But you're 4-4 in the third, and then he lets up another one where it's no screen, no tip, right there from the faceoff circle. Not where you should be scoring from in today's NHL. All 5 of them he could have had.
Bleh. Ugh. He sucked last night. He did. He sucked.
God, did he suck.
So that you're not going to get any argument from me on that one.
And that
you know what? The whole, you know, angles, playing the angles, because that's what he is, right? Oh, he was off. You could see huge holes in when he would line up.
I'm just surprised the coach didn't see it and didn't come out with Halak to start that second. So it's not the biggest deal in the grand scheme of things. It's game whatever, 15 of 82. And so whatever, the Bruins should be fine. It's just those Montreal games, I'm sorry. I'm still a door. I want those games. Now the replay. Your thoughts on the reverse Charlie Cole goal.
Murray, you go first on this one.
It just, it makes me hate sports specifically. It really does. And the NHL. Like, that's a team, that's a, of the four sports, you know, they have a real niche fan base overall. And you're spitting in your niche fan base's face when you keep this thing on the books. If it's blatant, fine. If someone's offside, you call it. But when it's by, you know, a pube, like, come on, like, let's not. Like, you're taking 3 minutes looking at this thing. So when you have to say the word as a referee and anyone in Toronto looking at this, well, then you just leave it alone. Just leave it alone and let it stay. Like, I hate that more than any other replay rule on the books. And it just, it drives me crazy because it's always by, like, just a little centimeter and someone's going to get screwed. And last night it was the Bruins.
I've used this analogy before and I'll keep using it as long as it applies. You want people getting tickets for going 56 on the highway? Is that what we want? We want the stadium standing out there stopping everybody who's going 56 miles an hour? Is that what we're doing now? So like that play last night, look, after watching it 5, 6 times, 10 times, however many times it was, do I think it was offside? Yes, I do. I think that the heel of his blade was over just before the puck was, by a whisker. Do I want that called? No, I don't. But if we're going to go by the letter of the law, I think it was offside.
The insidious, slippery slope of replay is what that was last night. And it applies to all sports in all contexts. It continues to get worse. It gets worse by the day. It gets worse by the season. They don't scale back replay. They continue to add to it. And it gets farther away from common sense by the day. He was offsides, but that was not the intent of that rule when it was put in. It's not the intent of the blue line when they put it in 1927 or whenever they did. The thing's there to avoid cherry picking and the offense gaining an advantage by preceding the puck into the zone. And neither of those things happened last night. He wasn't cherry picking. He came in at the same time as the puck. It ultimately had really nothing to do with the play itself. They scored 10 seconds later. And so the only thing that I would disagree with Bruins fans about is that it was called that way because of Montreal. It was not. It's called that way because replay is taking over and ruining sports.
It's typical. Montreal typical.
It was not Montreal typical, Peter. Peter Laviolette there. That goes back to Toronto, and we watch it in every sport, every week, every day. Some little petty thing by a centimeter, by a pH, as Murray said right there, is getting overturned because, well, just because that's the direction of replay. And it ain't going in the other direction.
Did it cost them the game?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I say no.
Well, I mean, Rask was number one. I start with Rask, but, oh, my God.
The momentum was completely different.
It's a huge swing.
I mean, no, it was a huge swing. I still think it's still 4-4.
Okay, if they don't replay that, you're up 5-4 and on the power play. You know, if the replay goes in your...
Sure.
If it's a pH in the other direction, it's 5-4 and you're on the power play. No, that was the game. Given that your goaltender, you know, crapped his pants again, that it came down to that thing. Quickly, here's Bruce Cassidy after the game on it.
No, you could argue it was possession play. Listen, my beef with that, some are going to go your way, some not. Ours are not going our way lately, but I assume that they will straighten out over the course of time. But the rule was put in place specifically for egregious. So they're over there for 3 minutes. You think, well, you know, what is the purpose of this rule? You know, either you find something or you don't. 3 minutes. So now you're looking for something for it to be offside. So, you know it's going to go the other way, and it did. So that's where my beef comes from, the intent of the rule. You always want to get it right, but, you know, there was kind of a change this summer punishing the coaches if they got it wrong for this reason. They didn't want three-minute reviews. So, anyway, it was a big part of the game. Didn't go our way, so that's the way it goes some nights.
Replays there, they say it every time. It's there to correct egregious mistakes. Are we looking at egregious mistakes? Or are we looking at centimeters on a nightly basis? So the insidious, slippery slope of replay again continued last night in Montreal. Your thoughts on all of it. There's our reset to you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Right circle now. Coyle right in the net. Center's deflected. And Byron came back defensively. Coyle shoots. He scores! Sanderson find him at the bottom of the left wing circle. Sent it out in front to Coyle, who slams one by Carey Price. First time tonight, Bruins lead it 5-4.
Well, the initial rush was a 3-on-1, but the pass was in Coyle's skate, so he had to kind of slow up a little bit.
So the referee is over to talk to the Canadiens.
I think they're looking for offsides. Good.
Mark Chilnet,
I think they're looking for a possible offside because the pass came to Coyle, and he had to take it in his skates, and it was very close.
They're rolling the dice here.
Here's the question.
Does he have possession? You know what? You're right. I think it's going to be offside.
How long does this go on? How long should it go on? If you're going to look at it this long, give it up, right? Just give it up. But I don't make those decisions, and guys want to get it right, but people got to work tomorrow.
After review was determined, the play was offside. There is no...
I think they got it right, but not the intent. Not the intent of the rules. It's never the intent to replay. The only one that's sort of gotten it right is the NFL with this pass interference, and no one can handle it like I thought, which is what I thought would happen. It's like, so the NFL is being smart with the pass interference replay. We said, we're not going to reverse unless it's egregious. And they've gone way over on the other side of it. And saying, no, it's got to be just like that thing in the NFC Championship game. So that's their standard. That's the standard it should be. And so anything that's clearly pass interference but just isn't insane isn't being reversed. And everyone's going, hey, why aren't you reversing it? So, like, no one can handle replay. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I mean, really, in a lot of ways, it's made it worse. It really has. Because you used to be able to chalk it up to just human error and say, well, those are the breaks. That's a deal. You live with it. You move on. You fight through it. Now it's, well, we have evidence. And now there's this great injustice. And people can't. They just can't. They can't process it.
So anyway, there's your reset to your calls on all of this. Tim and Bill Ricker. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, see, what's happening, guys? You guys said a lot of what I was going to say. But I think that is the worst rule in sports. I mean, pass interference and then the entire NBA gives it a run for its money. I think that is the worst rule in sports. It ruins the flow of a beautiful game that already has a wonderful flow going to it. It's awful. But a silver lining from last night that hasn't been brought up because it's being dwarfed by this offside issue is we actually got scoring from something that wasn't the first line, which was refreshing because this team feels incredibly top-heavy, and I think that's going to follow them into the playoffs and be a problem.
The best news last night to me was Zach Senyshyn, who I thought was a factor, and his speed showed in that game, and he played on the best line on the team. Cassidy even said it after the game. Coyle, Senyshyn, Bjork was their best line. Senyshyn was drafted for speed. He's been buried in Providence for 4 years. Feels like a bust and a blown draft pick, but he showed up last night, and he was a factor. He drew the penalty that led to the first goal. He was scrapping and got a secondary assist on the Clifton goal. He should have had the primary assist on the go-ahead goal by Coyle. And again, his speed was a factor. I liked it. So, of course, they sent him down today back to Providence. You know, people immediately emailed me and said, oh, it's because of salary cap reasons they'll bring him back. I hope.
Yeah, I hope.
He's right. Worth a second look.
I agree. That third line last night was a pleasant surprise, and the kid didn't look out of place, if anything else. And why did he get hosed on one of those assists? Like, why don't, I don't understand why.
Can he get hosed? He would have had the assist
right,
on
the goal called back.
But that was a goal that was called back. He had an assist on the Clifton goal, secondary assist.
Yeah,
but
right.
he was in on most of their scoring.
Yeah, he made the pass to Coyle on the goalie
right,
callback.
Right, right.
I mean, it was a good play.
I mean, that to me was a silver lining last night. Well, a silver lining is that you almost pulled out that game despite your goaltender not being able to stop a beach ball. That's huge.
That third line that they had last night, to me, there's no reason not to have that group together in November.
Cam and Taunton for you, Maz. Go ahead, Cam.
Maz, this is the one thing I don't understand. How can you call yourself in the NBA a hashtag slut for talent when for years, every time the Celtics were involved in a trade rumor, you would come in and say, oh, I don't want that guy. You can't be your leader. I don't want Blake Griffin. I don't want DeMarcus Cousins. I don't want Kevin Love. You even tried to knock holes in Durant. So how are you a slut for talent?
On Durant, I was wrong. Why? Do you want DeMarcus Cousins?
Not anymore, but I did when he was great.
When was he great?
In Sacramento.
Really? Cam, when he won 25 games a year?
Cam,
how about Kevin Love?
20-20?
How about Kevin Love? Is he great? You want him now?
Wait, was he a third? Was he a key part of a championship team? Was he not?
Key part? No.
Don't you understand, Cam? The list of acceptable NBA superstars for Maz is like
five people.
Three.
Three.
Five.
It's like you're really threading the needle there.
Might be three.
Okay, so he's not a slut for talent. It's right. You're right to bring that up because not only do you have to be ridiculously talented, but you also have to be a normal human being and a good pro. Name me the guys who fall on that list in the NBA.
About three.
There's like two or three of those guys.
Maybe five.
Maybe one. Maybe Kawhi Leonard.
And those are the guys that win in that league.
Who's the only NBA superstar who isn't a complete a-hole? Kawhi Leonard. Giannis. But I don't think he's championship caliber yet. I mean, but the list of elite talented guys who aren't flaming D-heads, it's like two or three guys.
Right, which is why in the NBA, there are like eight teams that have won championships in the last 30 years, which proves that I'm right.
Yeah, well, wait till the Lakers win one, okay?
Why, LeBron doesn't count?
You don't think he's an a-hole?
I think LeBron's an egomaniac, but LeBron's competitive. He's not a bad guy.
Okay.
He's an a-hole.
Is LeBron a bad guy?
I thought you hated LeBron.
Okay, he's not my kind of guy, but is LeBron a problem?
He's killed a lot of coaches. He's always needless drama with that guy. I mean,
would you take him?
I'll take him any day of the week.
Okay, so then they're a slut for talent, too.
But he's just not the only one. My list is longer than yours.
Yeah, LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, the freak. Give me a few minutes. I might give you one or two more, and that's it.
Ray in Naples on the Patriots. Yes, Ray.
Hey, totally agree with your take on N'Keal Harry. He needs to get out on the field. How about, since we're down tight ends, how about you play him like an Aaron Hernandez type, throw him out on the left side, and see what he can do? I mean, he's not doing anything for you on the bench, and that's about all I have.
I just don't know why you can't use him like Josh Gordon, meaning boundary plays, jump balls, red zone. It's not like Josh Gordon was some sort of master tactician out there with his footwork and his route running. He just went up and got it, you know, and he didn't separate. He just won jump balls and he was physical in that thing. Why can't N'Keal Harry do that?
See, that's what I want. I mean, to me, again, I think they need some sort of big target in the red zone. I think the bulk of their problems right now offensively are red zone. They're not going to, you know, they're moving the ball a little bit better now. And certainly Sanu will help them do that. But can they run it? And who do they have to throw to when the field shrinks? Who do they have to throw to? Harry should be one of those guys.
We've got, how about Diane and Lynn? Yes, Diane.
Well, I just want to say you are a flip-flopper on Tuca. When they were in the playoffs, you were like, I love him. He's the best. You got to have him. But now, one game, which we all know, he is terrible. And we should have traded him last year when we had the chance. Or even if we didn't have the chance, we should have just made the trade.
No. So I don't know what you're saying that I said last year. I was reflecting how he played, which was great. Game 7 against St. Louis. When we're doing our pre-show for that game, how did we all feel about the game?
Not great.
Nervous about the goalie.
I think we were all crapping our pants collectively. I mean, I still picked the Bruins just to, you know, to do it. But did we feel good about it? Did we feel good about it?
I know I didn't.
Nope.
And it was, and
they certainly didn't feel good coming out.
And it wasn't really about Rask necessarily. I thought the Blues, you know, established were the better 5-on-5 team. Blah 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 blah. I mean, I'm trying to be fair about Rask. When he plays well, I say it. When he plays poorly, I say it. Maybe that's what's tripping you up, Diane. You're not used to people being fair. When he plays well, the commentary reflects it. And when he craps himself in a big moment, which last night was a mini big moment, I say it. And this is a problem with Rask. He plays good for a stretch or a long stretch, and he looks just like structurally sound, and you don't got to worry about him. And then the big game happens. And what happens, Murray?
Yeah, Felger, you're not loyal, Felger.
So, right, I don't believe in loyalty. I believe in calling him as I see him. And last night, oh my God, did he lay la poop, la poo-poo in Montreal. Here's an update from Murray, and then we're back with more.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kemba, moving to his right, pull up three in the air, front iron no good, rebound, Gordon Hayward, and the putback, and what better way for this one to finish than a career-high 39 for Gordon Hayward on a putback. Kemba stealing the backcourt, and Colin Sexton has to give the foul.
Very lazy pass then. By Kevin Love. And also the guard. Guard has to come up and get that basketball. Road win would be a road win.
That's how the Celts closed it out last night. Again, my computer keeps freezing, Maz. Can you help me with the...
Yeah, no problem. What do you got?
Or maybe Vinny, I don't, on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, maybe you can pop it up there. Because again, I got these computer problems. Feel like I always freeze up whenever I'm going to look for, like Jimmy Garoppolo's record as a starter, Murray. For some reason, my computer can never fire that up.
I believe it's 16-2.
And now that I'm trying to get the Eastern Conference standings, I can't. Can you help me out
trouble,
there?
Trouble logging onto ahole.com over there, huh?
Celts have the best record in the East, tied for the best record in the East.
Yes, they do. Yes,
get used to it.
Correct. 5-1.
Get used to it.
Okay, I will.
Home games in the playoffs, etc. Over 49, East Finals, home games. They're gonna contend, man.
Okay, great. No, that 5-1, it is. It's impressive. Again, now two wins over the Knicks, one win over the Cavaliers. That's good. That's 5-1 beating up on dog food.
Called the Eastern Conference. Correct.
Yeah, 5-1 against
dog crap. And last year you couldn't even beat up on dog crap.
That's correct. Last year you couldn't. Yeah, I don't know why last year is relevant anymore.
For all your talent and your ceiling, you couldn't beat up on dog crap last year.
Yeah, again, I don't know why we're talking about last year. The discussion has been about this year's Celtics. And so when they play somebody good and when it means something, when everyone is trying.
You don't mean like the Milwaukee game?
No, the Markey game was a good win. I gave him that.
Okay,
one.
So that one counts.
There's a tone there.
So they're basically 1-0, not 5-1.
No, I would put them at 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah,
the Philly game.
Yeah, they lost Philly. Yeah.
So they're 1-1.
I might even give you 1.5, and I'll give you half of the Toronto game.
Felger and Maz Math, right there, man.
Yeah, 1.5-1. That's right.
So they're like four games out of first.
Something like that. Yeah, that's again when everybody tries as hard as what was the name of the team in Hoosiers, Murray?
Old Hickory.
When everyone tries as hard as Old Hickory, and G. Willikers has to go up against the other
I love it.
Yeah, when it's time to play hard. Because, again, see, now, in retrospect, looking back, when you saw Kyrie play in the first game this year in Brooklyn, you said, ooh, that's what it looks like when a guy's engaged versus what he looked like here, right? Mm. Same thing's true in the playoffs of everybody. Mm. So let's see what everybody looks like when they were engaged.
Okay. My computer, again, is frozen. How did the Nets do in that game, that first Kyrie game you're talking about?
They lost.
Oh, they lost. That's right. So back to your phones. I believe we're going to have a running situation here on the Celtics all season long. Mike and Woburn, what was your thought on that replay reversal?
This ought to be good. Go ahead, Mike.
Actually, Tony, you know, if you read the rule book, they got it wrong. They got it wrong because...
You thought it was control?
Letter of the law, Coyle has control of the puck. Page 88 of the rule book is possession of the puck. Like, all it is, you have, if you touch the puck, according to page 88, you have possession. And control of the puck on page 91 is the act of propelling the puck with your stick, skates, or even your hand. If you even bat it down with your hand, that's possession of the puck. They blew this call. This rule, this review is so awful because it only goes one way. You can only take goals off the board. You can't, if you know, Dippy McDew calls it offside, and it's not offside. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. All it is right now is the hockey equivalent of a dirtbag lawyer using a technicality to get a murderer off.
Oh, so sort of like if two gauges are used and one's not calibrated the same way as the other one, then, or the something like the temperature of the locker room isn't the same, some sort of technicality like that, Mike. Is that what you're talking
about?
So,
and I contest, it's interesting how you go there.
I just automatically.
And I contest whether or not he really had control of the puck. And Mike's going to say, well, what about the rule book? And I would tell you, was he really propelling the puck or was he just stopping it from coming over to him?
So look, that's the only way it would have stood is if they determined that he had possession. If Mike was still on, I'd ask him, and he's seen it. The only time usually you're allowed to put yourself offsides is when you're stick handling, and you do a 360, and you sort of spin in backwards to the zone, but you still have control of the puck on your stick. Then you take yourself offsides, and that's okay. That's kosher. I've never seen it when you're kicking to your stick or you're kicking the puck. I mean, if it's in the rule book, it's in the rule book. I'm not going to dispute it. I just was not expecting that call.
See, but this is one of those things, and I feel this way about all rules in all sports. This is one of those things where there's the actual written textbook rule, and then there's how they call it. And I always go by how they call it. So what is the intent? What is the whole idea? How are they calling it? Because, if you go by the letter of the law, Mike, you can't drive 56 miles an hour. So you're going to adhere to that one, too? I mean, I just think, that's one of those where, like, you want to go to the letter of the law. Screw the letter of the law.
They could have ruled possession there. I just wasn't expecting it because the way replay is going in every sport, in every case, they are circumcising the mosquito and looking for the last pubic hair, as Murray said right there, and ruling in that fashion. And the only case where they're not doing that is pass interference in the NFL, and still everyone hates it because they're wondering, how come you're not reversing these? It's clearly pass interference. So no one's happy. It hasn't ended controversy. It's only added to controversy, and this is why replay doesn't work. It might get it right more than it used to be, but that doesn't mean that we're any more satisfied as fans coming out of these games. We're usually more frustrated.
Now, the possession issue aside, the letter of the law is that play was offside.
No. Well, he says the letter of the law is that kicking to the stick is...
I said possession issue aside.
Possession issue
aside, the skate blade was over the blue line fully before the puck was.
Correct.
That's offside. I don't want that called. Again, forget the possession part of it. That's nitpicking. It's nitpicking. That's stupid. I hate that.
Brandon in Boston with the Celtics thought for us. Go ahead, Brandon.
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So I heard you guys talk about Gordon Hayward. So if he's playing to opt out, a good trade that would make sense would be Gordon Hayward for Blake Griffin. Their contracts make sense, and Blake Griffin is coming back off his injury, so I'll keep an eye out on him. He was averaging 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 4.5 assists.
Can I stop you there, Brandon? If there's a log jam at the wing, and you're worried that Gordon Hayward's going to be a flight risk anyway, or you just, something has to give, because again, we still haven't figured out if they can have all three of those guys healthy in the lineup and all feeling it. Would you trade one of those wings for Blake Griffin?
No.
Why not?
Because I want something better.
Okay, but, all right.
I do. I want something better. Again, Blake Griffin to me is overrated.
What if Griffin hasn't, I'm not sure, when does Blake Griffin's contract expire, Jimmy?
He has this year, next year, and a player option for the following year.
No. No, I'll wait.
He'd solve your big guy problem.
Not really, though.
And he shoots the three. He's gone out there like everybody else.
I know, but he's not really sort of your big guy, classic big guy. Not really. And so my answer is no. I think you're still in the same spot. I mean, maybe you're a little bit better, but you're still in the same spot.
You don't think he fills out your roster better?
I mean, he probably fills out your roster a little bit better.
I mean, because you admit Tatum, Brown, and Hayward are redundant.
Correct.
One too many. So you're still going to be strong at the wing. I mean, they've been great. And I think it's shown that Tatum and Hayward have been allowed to flourish because they're not splitting minutes. So you still have those two guys. Plus, you have a legit four or five. You got a legit big guy. That doesn't fill you out better? That doesn't balance your roster better?
Look at him as a legit big.
You see, I don't either. To me, he's not a legit big guy.
Offensively, he plays away from the basket like everybody else. But you don't think he can grab rebounds for you and help solve some of that problem?
Yeah, some of it.
No?
I don't know. I think he just fall in love with the name. I don't know. Frankly,
I think he's overrated.
Yeah, I'd rather someone like Steven Adams, honestly. Like, that's a guy that he could have on his team.
Fine. Does he shoot threes?
I don't think so.
Because, yeah, they want you to shoot the three ball.
Let me check on Steven Adams.
I mean,
I know. It's the stupid game. I hate it now. Like, oh, you got to be able to shoot a three. If you don't shoot a three, there's no use for you. Like, enough.
Kevin and Attleboro. Go ahead, Kevin, on the Bruins.
Hey, guys. So, first off, I wanted to talk about Rask, but really quick. The possession rule of the blue line, if he had gotten hit at that point, it would have been a clean hit. He had possession of the puck. So I think that that's fair to say. I'm not a Bruins fan, so I want to talk about Rask really quick, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
So I think he needs more than one Stanley Cup to rectify his image with Bruins fans, based on the way I hear Bruins fans talk about him.
No, he needs one. He needs one.
No, listen, I'm a big Wings fan, and you guys are going to steamroll us on Friday, and that's fine. But Chris Osgood, when he retired, was a Hall of Fame caliber goaltender, and no one's going to remember him.
Okay, well, it's different. You won a bunch of them, and I don't know. I don't care about the Wings right now. If Rask wins one cup, isn't it all forgotten? And
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know how I'd feel about him. I mean, I think he's an excellent goalie who's come really close but has had some real problems in some real big spots. And if he comes through at least once, it does change the narrative. It changed the narrative on David Price.
Of course. Yes, again, and it's the hardest trophy to win in sports. To me, the variables involved in winning a cup, like now it's going to be two. I forget it. We just write them off right now.
Forget it. Right. Exactly. I mean, if I really had to bet it, I doubt they get another chance. One chance. Never mind two. You know, Tuca's how old? He's in his 30s now, for crying out loud.
Well, he can play for a while, but the problem is that, you know, their core is not going to be able to play for a while.
Yeah, and he's got 2 years left on his team. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'd be surprised if he gets one more crack at the finals. I'm hoping for it. I hope they surprise me and go back this year and defy all of that, and he gets another chance. I hope it. That boy needs a Stanley Cup like you read about, and I hope he gets the chance. He got a long way to go, and it's not an easy thing to do.
I want to find out more about this whole cap thing with them. You mentioned that they sent Senishin down, because to me this relates to that. You get these young guys who come in and have a little bit of an impact. Why are they in Providence?
So hopefully he's back up for that next game.
Why is Senishin in Providence? That's dumb. He shouldn't be there.
I agree. Matt in Randolph. Yes, Matt.
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the NHL had replay correct like 20 years ago. I mean, I remember watching a game and the goal would be close.
Toe in the crease.
There'll be a guy upstairs. They'd look at it for a minute, and everyone would go along their way. They weren't, you know, looking at millimeters at the blue line.
No, they were looking at it in the crease. Remember you lost a big playoff game to the Buffalo Sabres?
Tim Taylor, right?
Tim Taylor, toe in the crease. Paul Dvorsky was the ref. Like, that was, you know, someone lost a Stanley Cup on that. Dallas. And Buffalo, right?
Dallas won.
The Brett Hull thing, like that used to be a huge, oh my God, that used to be a, that was worse than this.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was even worse than this thing, because they were trying to protect the goalie, and of course they overreached, and any little escape blade in the crease, even if you weren't touching the goalie, they'd wipe the goal out, and they'd go to replay on that thing. Oh, that was brutal.
That was bad.
Oh!
That was bad.
I don't even think they looked at offsides there. There was one bad play. I can't remember who it was. It was a Colorado Avalanche. Someone was way ahead of the play. They blew the call, and so they said, now let's replay this because we can correct this obvious mistake, which is fine if they were just there to correct that obvious mistake, that play again in Colorado. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Colorado. And so, but that's not now what they're doing. They're now spending 3-4 minutes pulling out their credit card to see if the guy is a credit card over the line, preceding the puck, never mind possession, taking 4 minutes out of our lives.
I mean, that thing last night really was unbelievable. It is, you had to watch that thing, I don't know how many times, to really get it over and over and over again, try to get a good read on it. And then even then, you had to put it under a microscope.
Okay, the Felgram-Mazz off-air show returns tonight. I should have mentioned this before. Myself and Mick Takey coming your way 6 o'clock sharp on Facebook Live. It's presented by Ace Ticket. So join us for the off-air show at 6. Coming up next here on the air is The Final Word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
The Sport. The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services.
Nobody
beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope.
Nobody. All right, we didn't get to do this yesterday when Greg Bedard made his usual Tuesday appearance. Boston Sports Journal, the 10 questions recap put together by Hardy. We had a bit of a technical difficulty, so here it is today.
Do you have your answers ready, most importantly?
Yes,
do you
have go.
Number 10, which of the following losses by the top contenders this weekend is the surest sign of things to come?
The Vikings lost to the Chiefs. It just... You get the ball. You have a lead. And, I mean, that's just.
Wow. Was that a bad one? Who should be the coach of the New York Jets?
I want Harbaugh from Michigan. He's just. We need him back.
According to a report over the weekend, the idea of moving the Chargers to London has been broached in league circles. If there has to be a team in London, who should it be? Give me three options other than the Jaguars. Who should be in London?
Chargers, Panthers, Titans.
Ooh, good one.
No. What is the Patriots' number one need at next year's draft?
Playmaker at tight end.
I get it. Okay. That's it. Who has been the biggest Patriots tool bag of the first half? Please give me two names. One and two, because I think one's kind of obvious.
Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, Mass. Go ahead.
Oh, you're skipping entirely?
No, go ahead.
Brady. You've now been on the beat for, what is it, about a month with the Las Vegas Review-Journal?
Mm-hmm.
Covering the Las Vegas Raiders, if you can believe it. Bedard, who still lives in the Boston area, runs the Boston Sports Journal. And
Viva Las Medfield! Viva Las Medfield!
I'm an NFL writer, Felger.
Okay. Who is the most entertaining quarterback you've ever watched?
My guy, Dan Marino.
I thought he was going to say Vic.
I almost did.
Da ba ba. Number one, league MVP at the midway point. Top three in order, please, Bedard.
Wilson, Jackson, Watson.
That's it.
Probably the most exciting Patriots game we've had since week one.
No, I think you're going to have the grit and balls Celtics back. Why do we have to keep reliving that?
He says Wilson, Jackson, and Watson. It sounds like you're rattling off U.S. presidents, doesn't it? Wilson, Jackson, and Watson.
Meanwhile, here comes Jones and Arcand. What, Jones? What?
Well, first of all, Tony, good save there, because I almost spilled coffee really everywhere in here.
Seriously, though.
Second of all, nice sweater, Felger. It's a good look we got going on here on the simulcast.
Being sarcastic?
No, I just, it's basically the same.
Oh, I see. We're saying we're wearing the same thing.
Mike's cost more.
Okay. Yes. Meanwhile, Arcand's done a little bit of research on the Patriots offense.
A little bit of work.
He got in the lab. He broke out the calculator.
The abacus.
What'd we find?
Well, we found out that the offense, when having to go on a normal field without a short field, has been terrible for the last four games. On a normal field, the offense is averaging less than 14 points a game. in their last four games. And it's getting worse. So all the talk about the defense and the boogeymen and what they're doing, not a good game for them against Baltimore, sure. But the offense is the problem here, and there's no question about it.
All right, here comes some show prep.
Ooh, I'm going to like this one on the way home.
All right, record, note, and we'll be at, we'll do it tomorrow, too. How about that? All right, everyone, here comes Jones. We're back at it again tomorrow at that hour. We'll see you then, Maz.
Bye-bye, Mike.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.